look, you could develop a friendship, and you can have, here's something to think about. Turn this into a business for you. Okay. Diabetes survivors, or, you know, pick a name, but create a brand on LinkedIn. And you'd be surprised. You'll end up with a lot of business. It isn't gonna, it, the thing that'd be fun for you is it wouldn't be a work. It wouldn't be work. Calling Dr. Richard Bernstein is not work, but it could be work. Could end up in business. Cause he knows, he knows hundreds and hundreds of people, right? And they could all become clients, theoretically.
Something like that happened recently here on the lake. So after my surgery, the many of the residents are on E-Lake are very neighborly, like old school.
Yeah.
And what they, what they like to do is they like to do, you taking off? Are you taking off?
No, that's his nose. Did you let
him out? Yeah, I did. I did.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let the other ones
loose. Okay.
Okay, sorry. Hi, Neil.
Hello.
That was my girl.
Thank you.
Work at home. So, yeah, cause we got seven dogs. So imagine everybody's on top of what, where the dogs are and what's going on there.
I got access now.
You have access? Okay.
Yeah. Can you put the meeting ID on the screen?
What?
The meeting ID that you had earlier on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. My assistant is logging in right now. He just needed the meeting ID. Okay. So one of my neighbors finds out I had open heart surgery and he says, I had that 2 years ago. I had a triple bypass. So we hit it off.
Of course you did.
And we had lunch and he says, I want you to take a look at my statements. And I said, I'll tell you what, I got a ball game 2 days from now. You like baseball? Sure. Come on, I'll treat you to dinner and first class dinner and a ball game. He brought a statement. I looked at it. You know, I pretty much in 5 minutes, I can tell you what's going on in your account by looking at it. So I said, look, here's the deal. First, let's put the horse before the cart. You need a full financial plan. I'm going to do that gratis. Okay. Then I'm going to analyze this, but I want to see your other statements.
Right.
So he brings everything, has about $5.5 million in total. He didn't want to turn everything over, but he finally ended up opening the one of his accounts with $1 million. So I got $1 million on my side. And now we're working through the rest. And, so that happened with, a connection based on my surgery.
Right.
Initial connection. So it's called the Zipper Club.
See, it's great. I mean, these are great things because people immediately are disarmed. You know, they have this these barriers up, right? All these barriers up. And when you're in the Zipper Club, the barriers come down.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to want to mute. You're going to want to mute your.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome, Leo. Good to see you.
Sorry. Nice to meet you.
Okay. He can hear you over here, but you're going to want to mute out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So Leo's job is director of prospecting.
Okay.
So he's going to be putting his arms around all the prospects, taking notes, prospects and ACATs and money coming in. For the time being, George is still supernova.
Right.
That may change in the future. Once, cause Leo's part-time now, he's 9 to 1. And, from 1 to 5 and maybe into the evening, he'll be studying for his, series, 7 and 66. once he gets fully licensed and then we bring him full time, then he can maybe take over Supernova at that time.
Well, and I love the director of marketing, you know, director of growth. That's a great thing for him to do because he can work with, you know, can work on things. You ended up hiring a VEA, did you?
I did.
You didn't or you did?
I did.
Yeah. So he can work with your VEA. And work on LinkedIn and work on the website and not do it, but just work with the VEA and come up to speed on that stuff. But you should have, seriously, you can have a club based on your admiration for Dr. Richard Bernstein and his book, The Diabetic Solution. You can save lives. Okay. This should be something on LinkedIn that you do. I had a guy that was a triathlete, and he started a club, basically, on LinkedIn of triathletes that were engaged in business, right? And he got a lot of business from it. It got so successful that it became the place where all professional triathletes went, and they would all communicate with each other on there. Not necessarily where he wanted it to go, but it was fine. It worked for him. And this would be fun for you, and it'd be a mission. And look, you've got the credentials. You got the zipper. You got it all. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, somebody says, "Well, I've really gone through hard times," and you go, "You have no freaking idea." Okay. And I'm not right.
Well, and I had, you know, diabetic retinopathy. I've had eye surgery 3 times.
Oh.
I mean, there's other shit that I don't talk about. I mean, if I started giving you everything, let's talk about my problems.
But you're a science project.
Okay? I mean, look at my fingers. So that's called.
Oh,
okay. That's called Viking disease. Now, why is it called Viking disease? It affects mainly people of Norwegian ancestry.
Is that where your hands kind of?
Yeah, that's exactly right. What it is it's called, I'll remember in a second. Anyways, John Elway is the kind of like the promoter of a medicine. When you've seen him on TV and that.
Yeah. Okay, he used to have this and now he can open his hand.
Exactly. So there are new medicines and surgeries.
Yeah. There was only surgery.
Yeah. Before it'd be surgery because they have to cut these fake tendons that your hand produces that are pulling down the fingers. But now there are medicines that can soften that up, but that's like my next project, but I have a list, you know,
My dad, I told you my dad was a 12-year-old diabetic, you know. And he was lucky because it had just been introduced before, you know, Lily had the medicine, and so he lived. But before that, you know, kids died.
Right.
So he lived. So he was 77. So he was one of he got the Joslin Clinic, you know, diabetic award for 50 years of diabetes and then 60 years and all that stuff. So he was a big friend of Joslin. I met Dr. Joslin of the Joslin Clinic in Boston. And so we lived with that our whole lives as kids. Right. So I know a lot about it. And my one of my buddies is Ted Lilly, who's Eli Lilly the third. And so we've talked about diabetes and Lilly and all that stuff. Interesting. So
this is, by the way, this is called Dupuytren.
That's the formal name, Dupuytren. Dupuytren.
My dad had that surgery. It's interesting, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there may be a connection to diabetes there.
Oh, there's absolutely a connection to diabetes.
Okay.
No, that's absolutely right. And then there's something hereditary too. And again, it's supposed to be Norwegian descent. I'm a Cuban guy. Maybe some Vikings visited Cuba.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
had some fun with some girls in Cuba, right?
You never know. But, I mean, I'm part European ancestry. Who knows? But whenever I've talked to people that have had this, they are Scandinavian. Scandinavian people get this, you know, which is funny. But, anyway, so that's another. And then, you know, my eye stuff, and I'm facing more work on especially my right eye, you know, and, that's all diabetes related. Now, by controlling your sugar, you stop it, and some of it actually reverses.
Well, my dad had great eyes until he died at 77. And, you know, a lot of people go blind. And it's, you know, he did lose a leg, but he didn't. And he was thin. He was fabulous about his diet. But we never grew up eating anything but fruits and vegetables and things. We never had cakes and ice cream and stuff growing up. Just wasn't part of the diet. You know, and I remember sitting outside of Joslin Clinic in the car waving to him, wondering whether he was going to come out of it, you know. So it's very personal for me. But anyway, I think it's something that you can be passionate about and run with it. And that can be you're a great living example of somebody that's doing something about it rather than going, what's my greatest next medicine, right? The medicines are great, but there's stuff you can do about it and take control of your own health. And you've come a long way, and you've got to be, you know, at this point, like with, you know, all of us that are survivors of different crap, you're very grateful. you don't feel like a victim. You feel grateful. You know, you could not be here, right?
That's true.
And so it's like other people can be like, oh, woe is me of all this crap. Yours is like, look at the adventure I went through.
Yeah, it's true.
And how grateful I am. And, you know, giving back then through different organizations and joining the board of your local diabetes association and, you know, just really getting involved. I think you can, you can turn your business into, you know, into your mission and your mission into your business. Cause it's not, you're a very passionate human. And when you tell your story, people will listen. You could speak. You could do Zoom calls on this and people would listen. You've done a remarkable thing. And if you had a doctor, this Bernstein, on the Zoom call with you, you could interview him. For all these people that have diabetes, it'd be fabulous. And guess what? You'd get a lot of clients out of it because they'd like you, want to do business with you.
Thank you, Rob.
I just think that's a kind of crazy, you know, when you start Leo, this is what you do. You sort of start brainstorming around an idea, right? So you turn your passions, whether they be golf or sports or something, into a business, and then you turn your challenges, diabetes, heart conditions, other things, into a challenge and an opportunity, right? You turn it into a part of your business because people want to do business with people they can trust and they have a lot in common. And you just broke through barriers like crazy with these things. You got the Cuban thing going on. You got the heart thing going on. You got the diabetes thing going on. You can chop through all these barriers. And these people will be like, yay. I trust him. I like him. And you've been in business a long time. And that's an advantage too. You're not going to run away with their money.
Yep.
So
excellent.
So,
as far as, some success raising money.
Yeah.
Accounts rolling in. There was one lady that I have a Zoom call at four. This is interesting. She's a CFP and she's an independent CFP and she does fee only financial planning, but doesn't manage money. She just charges a fee and kind of wraps her arms around people with large accounts, mainly, mainly international.
Okay.
She used to be a private banker at Goldman Sachs and then went independent. So she approached a client of mine, a domestic lady. And at first I was, well, who's this person?
Yeah.
And I said, well, if you're a CFP, you typically make your money not by charging a fee. Is it money management? Is it insurance products? Are you an attorney? Are you an accountant? Okay. You know, and I said, but you know, let me take this as an opportunity to meet somebody. So I dug in, got to meet her. Now I told my client, basically her background is investments. What you're going to do is you're going to get double the investment advice. I'm not going to go to her for approval. I'm going to go to you, my client, because she's not, unless she wants to be the POA and you want to make her the POA. Okay. But, which wasn't the case, but if you want to pay me and then pay her, that's up to you. That's fine with me. Now, right. She also puts her arms around their business holdings in real estate, not just their stocks and bonds and ETFs. Okay.
Yep.
So what ended up happening is the lady liked my style and she liked what I did with that client. So she said, look, I have other clients and I'm never the broker. I use brokers and some of these brokers are not very good. So yesterday she calls me and Leo picked up statements yesterday on a guy with $2.5 million. The client hates him. Now the only issue is it's another Morgan Stanley guy, but Elaine, the CFP said, look, she's going to leave this guy. And he's got another $2 million in the bank burning up his pocket. He wants to invest it and he's not going to invest it with this guy.
Right.
So it's going somewhere else. So do you want to take a look at it? I said, yeah, I do. So I got the statements. I got my opinion. I have a Zoom call with her at four, but this could be the first account referral from her. And then there's more. And by the way, that would be a small account for her. Because she typically handles 5-10 million or higher, mainly on the offshore side.
Interesting.
My Spanish is good. She tested that. She wanted to make sure, you know, I said, look, let me give you an example. She saw my Spanish. It's good. I was interviewed by Univision, a local Hispanic network at my business at Well-Groomed Gentleman. They did the entire interview in Spanish. When they were done, they tell me, you know, in Spanish, look, we need to do this now in English. Do you have anybody here that speaks English? I said, yeah, I think I can feel that one too. So my Spanish is pretty good, you know? And, so that's good because most of her clients are in Latin America, like this gentleman's in Peru.
That's great.
And, anyway, so that's something that could be big. Also, unfortunately, it's another Morgan Stanley rep, but I have a family that I'm involved with raising money, met the cousin, met the brother of the cousin, opened an account with him. He's a successful doctor here. And then he has a partner, a business partner. So I opened up their business relationship. So the business partner said, man, the service that my business partner gets from you is phenomenal. And I like what you're doing with the business account. Can I give you my personal account? Where's it at? What's at Morgan Stanley downtown? I said, well, you know, I explained to everybody the politics of the situation. He goes, look, Al, I have $2.5 million there. This guy doesn't do anything with it. $2 million has been in cash now for several years.
Oh, God.
I've got 500,000 in mutual funds. I never hear from the guy. I mean, I'd like to work with you. I said, look, talk to him or write him an email. So he wrote him a very elegant email and wrote me an email. I copied the manager. So that's moving over. And, that's a $2.6 million account coming in. And by the way, both these guys have just enormous potential. They're the players in that area in Little Haiti. They're Haitian guys.
Really?
Yeah. And my Haitian clients are, I tell them, I need to clone you guys. I need to get more guys like you because they're really easy to work with.
Oh, that's great.
They're really, really easy to work with. They take me on my advice. I've created some good friendships there. So, in fact, there's three Haitian certified advisors in Miami and I'm one of the three. And I'm the only non-Haitian of the three. The other guys are Haitian guys. They speak Creole. I don't speak Creole. I don't speak French, but, I guess I speak, common sense and professionalism. So that's what they're looking for.
Well, it's wonderful to hear. I mean, Haiti is such a nightmare right now. It's in the news.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's an exaggeration or maybe not kind of typical of the rest of Latin America is that you have the rich and the poor. You have the rich and the poor. You know, you have the, you have a small middle class. You have a huge amount of the population, which is, lives in poverty. And then you have people at the top that are extremely wealthy.
And they don't live in Haiti anymore, right? They live here?
My biggest Haitian account is in Haiti.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then his two cousins, one of which is the doctor, are Haitian American. And then he introduced me to his best friend. That's an up and comer and that's a growing relationship. He's Haitian American. And then now the business partner of one of the cousins is also Haitian American. So most of them are here, but no, my biggest account's actually in Haiti and they run, there's, you know how you have the Florida Lotto and maybe something similar to where you're at that's run by by the state.
Yeah.
Okay. In Haiti, you have private lottos sanctioned by the government. So there's three major lottos. So this guy owns one of them.
Sounds like a pretty good business.
It's just a business that doesn't end. You know?
Yeah, just be like
you don't even market it. It just happens. And he inherited the business from his father. And I mean, it's like $100 million business. So it's a huge thing. Not small. So then I have another big Haitian account. Shouldn't have forgotten this guy who actually his family is wealthier than this guy and they have, they're into heavy moving equipment. So for example, they own Caterpillar Haiti, for example, and other such big brands and they're big in the banking system down there. And that's another great family that I have that I'm looking to make inroads. Right. And, so I have great Haitian relationship, just, you know, it started with one guy and then I got referred.
Well,
you know.
Let me suggest something else. You just said Caterpillar, right? So Caterpillar is a gold mine in terms of brand, niche, wherever they are, you know, so it's got to be Caterpillar, Haiti, Caterpillar, every other South American country. And then Caterpillar, Miami and Caterpillar, Florida, right? So there's a, Leo, you're looking for something to develop here, as a niche. So what we do is we look for niches, right? So we've got the Haitian thing going on, but now we've got the Caterpillar thing going on. So we can be referred to other Haitians, but we can also be referred to other people that have Caterpillar, franchises and Caterpillar businesses. And those are, you talk about car dealers, these guys really make money. And this is legacy, generational legacy money. So I know it from Indianapolis, where there's a huge Caterpillar dealer, and he's one of the wealthiest guys in the community. And this is Caterpillar. You know, you're thinking, oh, it's like a, you know, tractor supply company. No, no, it's a gold mine.
Well, I have Leah working on a small project. I'll run it by you. I've had this in mind for years and never acted on it. So over at my salon, I have a lot of well-to-do guys that run through there.
Right.
So every month we have north of 200 new guys that walk in and try the place out. And I have right now steady more than 3,000 clients.
Wow.
Members are around 700. So I have a great book of clients at the Wellgrown Gentleman. Never really explored it. I know there's well-to-do people there, but I've never really worked it. So, I took only the new guys that came in January. So every month there's, call it 250 new guys who walk in. Gave that list to Leo, had him Google search and LinkedIn search these guys. And he came up with 10 or 15 prospects there that are heavy duty. One of them, he says, you know, here, this guy's the CFO of British Airways.
Oh my God.
So my thought is to, you know, again, get it down to the dozen best. This is every month, by the way. And then there's another list of all the members. And then there's another list of all the active clients. I mean, this is just, there's list upon list there you can make. So get the dozen guys off every list that are top notch. Send them an email through my personal email as the president of the Wellgrown Gentleman. Nothing to do with Morgan Stanley. Set aside an hour, give them a call. Hey, Rob, thank you for visiting my business. I own the Wellgrown Gentleman. Just wanted to give you a quick call and thank you and ask you, how did it go? Did you have a good time? Was the service good? Yeah, I loved it. Okay, look, as a thank you for coming in and testing my business, I'd like to go ahead and offer my next service on me. Go in, get a shave, get a haircut, whatever you'd like. It's on me. All you have to do is mention Al Maulini, mention my phone number, and then you spoke to me. The next time it's on me, let me know how it goes. Done. Okay. Now, at that point, whether they call me or not, now we're going to do something else. We're going to find them on LinkedIn. And now I'm going to connect with them on LinkedIn, but it's Al Maulini, Morgan Stanley advisor.
Right.
So they know who I am. And I don't know, start the connection process that way and see where that leads.
I mean, you know, and you're such a good schmoozer. You're going to have them to, you know, your lunches, right? Let's have lunch.
You know what's funny? When you, here's another thing I've discovered. Let's have lunch as a broker. Sometimes they give you the cross like a vampire. Because if you're a broker, they think, guys, after my money. Or an insurance guy or a CPA or an attorney, right? But when you're a fellow small businessman or you're already a client and walk into their business and you say, hey, let's have lunch. They don't even ask why. Yeah, sure. Right. Let's do it. You know, it's a much easier way to sit down in front of somebody as a fellow businessman than as a financial advisor.
Right.
Even if at the end you start talking about financial advice, right?
You know, these are businesses that I have, you know, that I, you know, this, it's being run and I've got, but this is, you know, this is who I am right here. This is what I do. But I have these other guys that run these businesses for me. And people are like, wow.
Here's another breakthrough. And that is that I had an issue with creating a relationship, but not finding a way to turn it into this area, right? Okay. So now we're, hey, we've gone to a baseball game. I mean,
right.
My neighbor with the heart surgery was easy because he asked me. So that was easy. But, you know, baseball games, wine events, we've been to lunch a few times, you know, whatever. We've had 5 or 6 touches somehow. We've been to a play, the wives together, you know, whatever. So finally I just popped the question. And the question is something like this. Rob, you know, we've gotten to know each other really well. I'd like to explore the possibility of adding value as your financial advisor. You'd be amazed at what the people come back with. Okay. One guy, I'm in the process now of opening this guy's account. He said, well, shit, we don't have to explore anything, Al. My advisor sucks. I'll just go ahead and give you the account. I'm in Merrill Lynch.
Wow.
Another guy just starts talking. Okay, this is what I got. I'm in Merrill. Blah, blah, blah. I have had no negative responses.
No, you won't.
It's only now the guy, one of the guys, hey, you know, I've been with this Merrill broker for 18 years. He, you know, he's in Indiana, but you know, da da da. And I said, well, the financial plan, blah, blah, blah. So I did a whole financial plan on the guy. He liked that. Now I got to deliver the financial plan. I'm also taking a look at his money management. I'm competing for the business, you know?
Sure.
So, but I've had nobody just say, no, that doesn't interest me. And if I do, great. You know, I have a friend and, you know, once in a while we'll see each other and, you know, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
No worries.
And you know, the other thing to do is to get a referral from him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got to get better at that.
Yeah, because they feel bad because they can't give you the business, but they can give you a referral.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So now they become your buddy and giving you, referring your business, and you end up with 4 accounts instead of 1.
Yep. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, but a lot of breakthroughs on my side in terms of, you know, different things that we're working on. And, you know, now that we have the complete team and I'm healthy, hopefully we can start working on big things.
Well, you know, our health is one of those things that it's kind of a minefield. We're always going to be going through it from now on. And it's an adventure. And that's the way you look at it. Looks like, you know what? If I'm strong, I'm healthy, the next piece of crap that hits me, I'm going to do fine because it's just going to be another thing. And that's the way it goes for the rest of your life. It isn't like, oh, fine, I'm now going to be free of everything. No, it's not. It's just, you're just continuing to play probabilities. Huh. And you've done very well by weighing the probabilities on your side, by staying in good shape and dealing with it. But crap, you know, look at you, like you said, I haven't even gone through, Rob, I'm just hitting you with the surface shit. I got all this other stuff going on down here. Well, that's the way it is. As you know, it just happened to you rather than in your 80s. It's happening to you now when you're a young guy, but it's okay. You can live well into your 90s and still have all this crap going on. It's just going to be a battle. That's all.
You know. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had CLL now coming up on, 12 years. So, you know, cancer, blood cancer. And you know, it is what it is. I had my infusion yesterday and I'm good, right? Worked out this morning and
excellent.
Stay in as good shape as you can and have a great attitude. Be very grateful and know that it's just our hero's journey, right? Just our battle. We fight it every
day. Rob. Excellent.
Yeah. So Leo, you got a lot of good ideas. I hope you took good notes there. Those are some good. So what you want to do is just take notes as we come up with ideas and then just keep reminding Al of these ideas, and that you can be a little bit of me kind of in his ear saying, you know, we talked about that, you know, and he goes, oh yeah, that's a good idea. I meant to do that. So that can be very helpful. And, okay, my friend, you're a magic man. I want to hear about Richard Bernstein.
Okay. Thank you, Ralph.
That one will be fun. That's a real exploration there. You'll have fun. He'll love to hear from you.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. See you. Bye. Bye-bye. Take care.